Ever wondered why some runners seem to glide effortlessly while others struggle with constant injuries? Chris Napier's The Science of Running has become the go-to resource for runners seeking that perfect balance between performance and injury prevention. This comprehensive guide has transformed how recreational and elite runners approach their training, with Olympic medalists and weekend warriors alike citing its evidence-based methods as game changers. What makes this book particularly powerful is how it demystifies complex biomechanical concepts without dumbing them down, offering practical applications that have helped countless runners break through plateaus and overcome chronic injuries. In a world where running participation continues to surge, with over 60 million Americans identifying as runners, Napier's scientific approach stands out by challenging long-held myths while providing actionable insights backed by cutting-edge research. Running is deceptively simple yet profoundly beneficial. Beyond the obvious cardiovascular improvements, consistent running creates a more robust body that's remarkably resistant to disease and physical disability. The research is compelling. Recreational running helps prevent obesity, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, osteoarthritis, respiratory disease, and various cancers. Even modest amounts significantly reduce mortality risk from all causes, particularly cardiovascular disease. What's often overlooked is running's powerful impact on mental health. The rhythmic nature of running triggers neurochemical changes that provide immediate stress relief and mood enhancement. Studies show that runners experience significantly lower rates of depression and anxiety compared to non-runners. The runner's high, once dismissed as psychological, has been scientifically verified as a flood of endorphins creating genuine euphoria. The social dimension adds another layer of benefit. Community running events like Park Run have transformed neighborhoods by creating accessible fitness communities. These gatherings foster connections that combat loneliness while improving physical health, creating a virtuous cycle of well-being. The beauty of running lies in its accessibility. It requires minimal equipment and can be done almost anywhere, making it one of the most democratic forms of exercise available. However, running isn't without risks. Certain injuries like runner's knee and Achilles tendinopathy are common among runners. The key distinction between casual joggers and lifelong runners often comes down to understanding the science behind injury prevention and performance optimization. This knowledge, once reserved for elite athletes, is now accessible to everyone, allowing runners at all levels to train smarter rather than just harder. Running involves your body functioning as a sophisticated machine with numerous systems working in concert. When you run, your body transforms chemical energy into mechanical energy through a series of complex processes. Understanding these mechanisms can help you become a more efficient, injury-resistant runner. The running cycle consists of four key events: initial contact, when your foot first touches the ground; mid-stance, when your body passes over your supporting leg; toe-off, when your foot leaves the ground; and swing, when your leg moves through the air. During each cycle, your body manages tremendous forces, up to 12 times your body weight, while recycling energy from one step to the next. Your muscles play different roles throughout this cycle. During initial contact, they work eccentrically, lengthening while contracting, to absorb impact forces. During toe-off, they work concentrically, shortening while contracting, to propel you forward. The Achilles tendon exemplifies this energy recycling brilliantly. It stretches during early stance phase, storing energy like a coiled spring, then releases this energy during toe-off to assist propulsion. This efficiency isn't just about muscles and tendons. Your foot's arch structure acts as both a shock absorber and a rigid lever at different points in the running cycle. When you land, the arch flattens slightly to dissipate forces. During push-off, it stiffens to create an effective lever for propulsion. Despite common assumptions, research shows that variations in arch height, flat feet versus high arches, don't significantly predict injury risk. Your dynamic movement patterns matter far more than static anatomy. The knee bears enormous forces during running while maintaining remarkable flexibility. Its complex structure includes the patella, kneecap, which improves mechanical efficiency by increasing the leverage of your quadriceps muscles. The hip joint, meanwhile, provides both mobility and stability, allowing your leg to swing freely while supporting your body weight during stance phase. Your core muscles, not just the visible six-pack, but the deeper layers, including the transversus abdominis, create a stable platform for your limbs to work against. A strong core allows efficient transfer of forces between your upper and lower body, essential for maintaining good running form when fatigue sets in during longer efforts. Every stride you take requires energy, and your body has developed sophisticated systems to meet these demands. Understanding how these systems function can help you train more effectively and perform better on race day. At the cellular level, adenosine triphosphate, ATP, is your body's energy currency. When you begin running, your muscles first use stored ATP for immediate energy, but these reserves last only seconds. For continued movement, your body must generate new ATP through either aerobic, with oxygen, or anaerobic, without oxygen respiration. Aerobic respiration is your primary energy system for distances beyond 800 meters. This process converts glucose or fat into ATP in the presence of oxygen, producing about 38 ATP molecules from each glucose molecule. It's highly efficient, but requires continuous oxygen delivery. Endurance training increases both the number and size of mitochondria, your cell's power plants, making the system more effective. For shorter, more intense efforts like sprinting or hill repeats, your anaerobic system takes over when oxygen demand exceeds supply. This process produces only 2 ATP molecules per glucose molecule and creates lactate as a byproduct. Contrary to popular belief, lactate itself isn't the cause of muscle burning. It's actually the hydrogen ions released during this process that create that familiar sensation. Your lactate threshold, the intensity at which lactate begins accumulating faster than your body can clear it, is a crucial marker of fitness. Through targeted training, you can push this threshold higher, allowing you to maintain faster paces before fatigue sets in. This adaptation explains why interval training and tempo runs are so effective for performance improvement. When running longer distances, your body's glycogen stores, primarily in muscles and liver, become limiting factors. A typical runner stores enough glycogen for about 90 minutes of moderate intensity running. Once depleted, your body must rely more heavily on fat metabolism, which delivers energy more slowly. This metabolic shift explains the dreaded wall marathoners often hit around mile 20. Endurance training creates remarkable adaptations in these energy systems. Your body becomes more efficient at using oxygen, improving VO2 max, clearing lactate, storing glycogen, and mobilizing fat for fuel. These changes don't happen overnight. They require consistent training over weeks and months, but they transform your body into a more efficient running machine. Running may seem like a simple act of putting one foot in front of the other, but it requires extraordinary coordination between your brain, nervous system, and muscles. This complex orchestration happens largely below your conscious awareness, allowing you to maintain rhythm and balance even while navigating varied terrain. Your brain's motor cortex initiates movement by sending electrical signals through your spinal cord to specific muscle groups. These signals travel via motor neurons, causing precisely timed muscle contractions and relaxations that create the running motion. With practice, these movement patterns become increasingly efficient as your brain creates neural pathways that require less conscious effort, explaining why experienced runners often describe feeling like they're on autopilot. Balance during running comes from integrating multiple sensory inputs. Your inner ear contains fluid-filled structures that detect head position and movement, while proprioceptors in your muscles and joints provide constant feedback about body position. Visual input helps you anticipate terrain changes and obstacles. Your brain processes all this information simultaneously, making split-second adjustments to maintain stability. The autonomic nervous system manages crucial background functions during running. Your sympathetic system, the fight-or-flight response, dominates during exercise, increasing heart rate, dilating blood vessels and working muscles, and enhancing breathing capacity. After your run, the parasympathetic system, the rest and digest response, takes over, slowing your heart rate and redirecting blood flow to aid recovery. Hormones play vital roles in running performance and adaptation. Cortisol mobilizes energy reserves but can impair recovery when chronically elevated. Testosterone and estrogen influence muscle development and recovery capacity. Growth hormone stimulates tissue repair after training. This delicate hormonal balance explains why overtraining can lead to performance plateaus or declines. Your body simply cannot maintain optimal hormone levels when chronically stressed. Temperature regulation becomes crucial during running, as working muscles generate significant heat. Your hypothalamus acts like a thermostat, triggering cooling mechanisms like sweating and vasodilation when core temperature rises. With training, these systems become more efficient. You begin sweating earlier and more profusely, allowing better heat dissipation. This adaptation explains why acclimatizing to hot conditions improves performance and reduces risk of heat-related illness. Understanding these control systems reveals why consistent training works. You're not just strengthening muscles, but rewiring neural pathways, optimizing hormonal responses, and enhancing regulatory systems throughout your body. When you run, you're constantly interacting with forces outside your body that significantly impact your performance and injury risk. Understanding these forces can help you adapt your training and technique for better outcomes. Ground reaction force, GRF, is perhaps the most significant external factor. For every action of your foot striking the ground, there's an equal and opposite reaction force transmitted through your body. This force has vertical, anterior-posterior, braking, propulsion, and medial-lateral, side-to-side components. The magnitude and direction of these forces depend on your running style, speed, and terrain. When your foot strikes the ground, the impact creates a momentary force spike that travels up your kinetic chain. Your body must absorb this energy through muscle contractions, joint movements, and tissue deformation. Interestingly, increasing your cadence, steps per minute, can reduce both vertical and braking forces, potentially lowering injury risk. This explains why many coaches recommend a cadence of 170 to 180 steps per minute for efficient running. The point where GRF acts on your body creates rotational forces, torques, around your joints. For example, when your foot lands ahead of your center of mass, GRF creates a torque that encourages knee flexion, requiring your quadriceps to work eccentrically to control this movement. Your landing mechanics significantly affect these forces. Rear foot striking creates different torque patterns than forefoot striking, engaging different muscle groups in the process. As you run, your body responds to these forces with a series of rotational movements across multiple joints. Your chest and pelvis move an alternating counter-rotation, creating a diagonal elastic support system that transfers forces between upper and lower limbs. This spiral movement pattern explains why core strength is so important for runners. It provides the stable platform needed for this energy transfer. Environmental factors like weather and terrain also impose external demands. Heat increases cardiovascular strain as blood is diverted to the skin for cooling. Cold conditions trigger vasoconstriction to preserve core temperature but may reduce performance. Wind creates additional resistance. Running into a 10-mile-per-hour headwind can slow you by about 8 seconds per mile. Hills dramatically change the forces involved. Uphill running requires more concentric muscle action with less elastic recoil contribution, while downhill running creates greater impact forces requiring more eccentric control. At altitude, reduced oxygen availability immediately decreases your VO2 max, about 2% for every 1,000 feet above 5,000 feet. This explains why elite athletes often train at altitude but race at sea level, benefiting from increased red blood cell production without the performance limitations of reduced oxygen. Running injuries typically develop not from sudden trauma, but from accumulated stress that exceeds your body's capacity to adapt. Understanding this process gives you powerful tools to prevent problems before they sideline your training. Most running injuries follow a predictable pattern. Training error, typically sudden increases in volume or intensity, combined with individual biomechanical factors, leads to tissue overload. This overload initially causes micro damage that, without adequate recovery, progresses to symptomatic injury. The good news? This process gives you multiple opportunities to intervene before serious problems develop. Monitoring your training load is perhaps the most effective prevention strategy. Research consistently shows that rapid increases in training volume, more than 10-15% weekly, significantly raise injury risk. This explains why gradually building mileage and incorporating recovery weeks are fundamental principles in well-designed training plans. Contrary to popular belief, anatomical factors like foot type or leg length discrepancies play a smaller role in injury development than once thought. More important are functional movement patterns, how you actually move when running. For example, excessive hip adduction, knee collapsing inward during stance phase, increases stress on the knee and can contribute to patellofemoral pain, while narrow step width may increase IT band strain. Strength training provides another powerful prevention tool by increasing your tissue's capacity to handle running loads. Research shows that runners who incorporate regular strength work experience significantly fewer injuries. Focus particularly on hip and core muscles, which control pelvis and lower limb alignment during running. The exercises don't need to be complex. Simple movements like single-leg squats and hip hikes performed 2 to 3 times weekly can make a substantial difference. Footwear choices, while important for comfort, have less impact on injury prevention than many runners believe. Despite massive marketing claims, neither traditional, minimalist, nor maximalist shoes have proven superior for injury prevention. What matters more is avoiding abrupt changes in cushioning or heel drop, which can stress tissues unaccustomed to different loading patterns. This explains why gradually transitioning between shoe types is recommended. Recovery strategies play crucial roles in injury prevention. Sleep quality and quantity directly affect tissue healing and adaptation. Proper nutrition ensures your body has the building blocks needed for repair. Active recovery techniques like gentle cycling or swimming maintain blood flow without adding impact stress. Together, these approaches create an environment where your body can adapt positively to training stresses rather than breaking down under them. While there's no single perfect running form that works for everyone, certain biomechanical principles can help you run more efficiently and reduce injury risk. Rather than completely overhauling your natural style, focus on refining key elements that have the greatest impact on performance and injury prevention. Stride length and cadence form the foundation of good running mechanics. Overstriding, landing with your foot too far ahead of your center of mass, creates excessive braking forces that waste energy and increase stress on joints and tissues. Research shows that increasing your cadence by just 5-10% can eliminate overstriding, causing your feet to land closer to your center of mass and reducing vertical oscillation, bouncing. This simple change often reduces impact forces by 20% or more without sacrificing speed. Your upper body position significantly affects overall efficiency. Running tall with a slight forward lean from the ankles, not the waist, creates optimal alignment for forward momentum. Your arms should swing naturally front to back, not side to side, with elbows bent at approximately 90 degrees, counterbalancing your leg movements. When fatigue sets in, runners often hunch forward, restricting breathing capacity and disrupting this efficient alignment. Foot strike patterns have generated considerable debate in recent years. Research has largely debunked claims that rear foot striking, landing on your heel first, increases injury risk, or that forefoot striking, landing on the ball of your foot, is inherently more economical. Most distance runners, 80 to 95%, naturally land with a rear foot strike, which works perfectly well with proper cadence and stride length. Changing your natural foot strike pattern without addressing other form elements often creates new problems rather than solving existing ones. Core engagement provides the stable platform needed for efficient limb movement. A strong, engaged core prevents energy leaks through excessive rotation or side-to-side movement. This doesn't mean actively tensing your abdominal muscles while running. Rather, developing core strength through targeted exercises allows natural stabilization during your runs. Breathing techniques can enhance both comfort and performance. Most runners naturally fall into a breathing rhythm synchronized with their stride pattern, often 2 or 3 steps per inhale and the same for exhale. This coupling helps stabilize your core and maintain rhythm. Diaphragmatic breathing, using your diaphragm rather than just your chest, increases oxygen intake and helps maintain proper posture, particularly important during longer runs when fatigue sets in. Establishing effective warm-up and cool-down routines bookends your runs with practices that enhance performance and recovery. A structured, sport-specific warm-up program can reduce overuse injury risk by up to 50%. Start with a short, easy jog, 10 to 15 minutes, followed by dynamic stretches and running-specific drills that prepare your neuromuscular system for the demands ahead. Strength training was once considered unnecessary or even counterproductive for runners. Today, research clearly shows that well-designed strength work enhances both performance and injury resistance. The key is selecting exercises that specifically address the demands of running rather than generic fitness routines. Running places enormous stress on tendons, particularly the Achilles, which handles forces up to 12 times your body weight with each step. Strength training increases tendon stiffness, their resistance to deformation under force, which enhances energy storage and release during running. This improved elastic recoil translates directly to better running economy, allowing you to maintain pace with less effort. Heavy resistance training provides greater loads than running alone, creating adaptations that running cannot produce. Some exercises enhance your capacity to absorb impact forces, while others improve propulsive power. For beginners without injuries, focus on 3 to 5 exercises targeting the hip, thigh, and calf muscles, performing 2 sessions weekly for at least 6 weeks. Complete the recommended repetitions and sets with enough resistance to feel muscle fatigue, allowing 2 to 3 minutes recovery between sets. Foot and ankle exercises form the foundation of a runner-specific strength program. The foot doming exercise strengthens intrinsic foot muscles that support your arch, enhancing the foot's spring-like function during running. Heel drop exercises target the calf muscles and Achilles tendon, which contribute roughly half the work required for each running step. The eccentric, lowering phase builds strength through the calf and Achilles, enhancing their ability to absorb impact forces during the loading phase of running. Hip exercises address a common weakness in many runners. The hip hike strengthens the gluteus medius and maximus, which stabilize your pelvis during the stance phase of running. Weakness in these muscles has been linked to numerous running injuries, including IT band syndrome and patellofemoral pain. The standing hip rotation exercise strengthens the deep external rotators that maintain hip alignment during running, preventing the knee from collapsing inward. Core exercises improve the transfer of forces between your upper and lower body. The front plank with rotation, also called mountain climber, strengthens your obliques while improving the diagonal elastic support mechanism that transfers forces during running. This exercise also engages your hip flexors and pelvic floor muscles, particularly beneficial for female runners who may experience bladder leakage during high-impact activities. Advanced plyometric exercises like box jumps and single-leg hops develop explosive power and improve leg spring stiffness, your leg's ability to store and release energy efficiently. These exercises enhance the elastic properties of tendons while teaching your nervous system to recruit muscle fibers more effectively during the push-off phase of running. Incorporating these strength exercises 2 to 3 times weekly produces noticeable improvements within 6 to 8 weeks. As exercises become easier, progress by adding weight or increasing difficulty rather than simply doing more repetitions. This progressive overload principle ensures continued adaptation and improvement over time. Training smarter, not just harder, is the key to reaching your running potential while avoiding burnout and injury. A well-designed training plan balances increasing fitness with adequate recovery, creating a sustainable approach that yields consistent improvement. Before diving into structured training, clearly define your goals. Whether you're aiming to complete your first 5K or set a marathon personal best, specific targets provide direction and measurable progress markers. Break ambitious goals into progressive milestones and consider prioritizing them as A, B, and C goals based on importance. This approach creates both structure and flexibility in your training journey. Assessing your current fitness establishes your starting point and helps determine appropriate workout intensities. While sophisticated technology can measure various metrics, the simple rate of perceived exertion scale, RPE scale, provides a remarkably effective subjective measurement tool. Your perceived effort directly correlates with physiological stress, making it a practical guide for workout intensity. The foundation of any effective running program is easy, continuous running. Approximately 80% of your total volume should be at conversational pace. These runs build aerobic capacity, increase capillary density, and provide active recovery between harder sessions. Many runners make the mistake of running their easy days too hard and their hard days too easy, missing the training benefits of proper intensity distribution. Strategic harder workouts provide specific stimuli that drive improvement. Tempo runs at lactate threshold pace improve your body's ability to clear lactate, allowing you to maintain faster paces before fatigue sets in. Interval training alternates intense running periods with recovery periods, developing VO2 max and anaerobic capacity. Hill training strengthens running-specific muscles while reinforcing good form elements like tall posture and proper foot strike. Recovery is not just the absence of training, but an active process that allows adaptation. Sleep quality and quantity directly affect hormone balance, tissue repair, and central nervous system recovery. Nutrition timing and composition influence how quickly your body replenishes glycogen stores and repairs muscle damage. Active recovery techniques like gentle cycling or swimming maintain blood flow to working muscles without adding impact stress. Monitoring your training load helps prevent the overtraining that leads to injury and burnout. Track both external load, objective measures like distance or duration, and internal load, effort measures like heart rate or RPE. Signs of excessive training include declining performance, elevated resting heart rate, persistent fatigue, mood disturbances, and increased susceptibility to illness. The most effective training plans follow proven principles. Developing well-rounded fitness through varied workouts, progressive adaptation by gradually changing volume or intensity, optimizing training load at a rate your body can absorb, and incorporating strategic recovery periods. Whether you're preparing for a 5K or marathon, these principles create a framework for sustainable improvement while minimizing injury risk.